Greetings, friends and radio listeners. You are tuned to the R.G. Hardy broadcast as we come your way proclaiming, souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? I know you're going to really enjoy the broadcast today as we join God's servant, Brother Hardy, as he brings forth a beautiful message entitled, The Bible Doctrine of Peace. What is peace according to Bible terminology? What is shalom? Oh, it's a beautiful message that I know will speak directly to your heart, will lift you up in spirit, will comfort you. So let's join Brother Hardy, God's servant now, for this beautiful message, The Bible Doctrine of Peace.
I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. The only way that I can be troubled is if I let it. You know, when we got saved, this is one of my sayings I coined over the years of almost 40 years preaching, that when I got saved, I got the lets. You see, when we got saved, we're no longer slaves anymore. When we were in the old economy, when we were in the reign of the devil, we were slaves. And some people stay so close to the line of demarcation, they still keep the mind and the demeanor of a slave. They still think as a slave instead of a free man. A lot of times preachers would like to give the illustration of what it means to be free, is that a man's in prison and the governor pardons him and the door's open, but he don't want to go, he stays there. And the warden tells him, you're free. But he still stays in prison. And that's the way a lot of saints are. Jesus freed them, but they still stay in prison. The door's open. No authority, no rule, and no power can legally keep them, but they stay there. They don't know they have the lets. So instead of letting themselves be free, they let themselves stay in bondage. I refuse to be bound. I've got that part of shalom, which is Yeshua. I got salvation. You see, how many's got Yeshua? That's the Hebrew word for Jesus. If the Old Testament, if the New Testament would have been written in the same Aramaic, instead of him being called as an English Jesus the Christ, he would have been Yeshua the Messiah. How many say amen? Instead of Yesu Christus, hey, he is Yeshua. He's my salvation. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's actively present, working for my well-being and my good. And I don't care what comes along my path. If I love him, he's actively present to work all things together for good. Romans 8:28, one of my four foundational scriptures from the beginning of my salvation that I based my salvation on. Jesus is the chief and only foundation. But I built on him. Paul said, if any man build on, can no other foundation be laid? Only that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And if any man build thereupon, now I built upon the foundation of Jesus. He's my righteousness. I'm saved because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing save me. And I have based my eternal hopes and expectations of eternal life on the foundation of the sacrificial death of Christ, his shed blood on Calvary. And Paul said in that Romans, I have been made righteous by his blood. Three things that made us righteous. We have been made righteous by God's grace, the free gift of Christ. And then we have been made righteous by the shedding of the free gift of grace, Christ's blood. And then we have been made righteous by faith in that shed blood. Hallelujah. And that is my foundation for my eternal life and eternal expectations with a life with God in his house and in his kingdom forever and ever. And on that foundation, I have built my building with four pillars. And the one pillar is Romans 8:28. And I know when I found out with Paul, Paul said, we know, he knew, and a whole lot have found out with him, and they know. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How many's out there and you love God? Well, all things, everything is working together for shalom as you love God. The condition is only that you love God. And the definition of loving God is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you will keep God's word, then all things are working together for good. Now, a better translation is, God is at work in everything for good to them that love the Lord. Everything in your life, no matter what comes, God is going to work it in, and when he gets done, it's going to be good. I don't care if the devil sells you like Joseph down to Egypt. When God gets done, it's going to be good. If Joseph wouldn't have went to Egypt, you and I wouldn't be saved today. Because the family and the line that our Savior was to come through would have died in the famine. But Joseph realized that when he was in Egypt and his brothers come. And instead of being hateful, he had shalom. He had shalom in his life, and he had shalom working for the well-being of his brothers. How many say amen? And when he revealed himself to his brethren, they were scared because they realized Joseph was in this powerful position and their lives were in his hands. And they were scared. They didn't know whether they had shalom or not, or destruction. They didn't know whether it was going to be well with their being, or were they going to be being destroyed. But Joseph revealed himself and said, don't worry, it was all in God's plan. Don't you know God sent me down ahead? Don't you know God sent me down ahead that I might preserve the family, the nation? And if you're a child of God, the Bible said the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if you're a righteous person and you love and obey God, no matter what comes your way, God's going to be at work. The presence, the dynamic presence of God, El Shaddai, is going to be present with you at work to work it for the good. Take it again. Israel was down in the lands of the Persians. And old Haman raised up and got the king to sign a law to kill all the Jews. But God worked it all out to good. He caused the king to dislike his present wife, and he made him love Esther. And you know the story, how that Esther went into the king, said, I love you, king, and everything's wonderful, but you're going to kill me. And he said, kill you? Why? Because I'm a Jew too. How many say amen? They were going to kill her uncle, Mordecai. She put herself in jeopardy. Because when she walked in the king's presence, if he didn't extend his scepter, that meant death. Nobody could come in the king's presence when he sat on his throne unless he invited them. Or if they came in uninvited, if he didn't extend the scepter of his kingdom, it was death. And she was in that place because Haman was going to kill all the Jews, and her uncle Mordecai said, don't you stay back in safety. Go into that king and save the people or die with the people. How many say amen? And in that great moment of trial and test, she stood in front of the king, and God made the king love her and extend that scepter and spared the Jewish people. Then the devil raised up against her uncle because he stood for righteousness and was a child of God. Everything is not going to go smoothly as a child of God. Just like when you get married, don't you think your marriage is all going to be a honeymoon? After you've been married for a while, you're not going to see the stars, but you might see stars. How many say amen? But you've got to commit yourself that you're both going to work together for the good of that marriage. And God is committed that he's going to work together for good for our shalom. And old Haman built the scaffold to hang Mordecai. But God troubled the king. And the king got up and told him, bring me the chronicles, the records of my kingdom. And in there he found out that Mordecai saved him from being killed. So he called Haman in. Oh, I like the irony. I like the humor of the Holy Ghost. Some people think God doesn't laugh, but I like his humor. How many say amen? Hallelujah. I'm talking about shalom. Do you have it today? Do you have shalom? Are you letting your heart be troubled? Are you letting it be afraid? Or are you believing God and knowing that God is actively at work for your well-being, for your good and your salvation?
Amen. What a truly uplifting message by my father, Brother Hardy, the Bible doctrine of peace. Actually, the Hebrew term for peace is shalom, and it's much stronger and inclusive than our English peace. It refers not only to the absence of conflicts and trouble, but to wholeness and well-being for the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. God intends for his children to live by this principle and promise of shalom. And Satan will seek to steal our peace, but we have been instructed, we have been commanded to let the peace of God reign and rule in our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are let the peace of God to guard our hearts. And this is a term that refers to a referee or umpire who calls the shots. So when the enemy comes against us, we're to let the peace of God reign and rule and usurp authority over the oppression of Satan. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace, and we are to serve the Lord of peace and the Prince of Peace. This message is available in its entirety on both audio cassette and CD. And when you order the message, The Bible Doctrine of Peace, we will send you the bonus message by Brother Hardy, Grace Sufficient. It's so good to know that regardless of what you're facing in your Christian trials, because we all have trials and temptations come to each and every one of us, but regardless of what our circumstances are, God's grace is sufficient for us. And that's why we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for help in our time of need. For your love gift of at least $10, you can receive the 2 audio cassettes. And for your love gift of at least $15, you can receive the 2 CDs. Please send your love offering and request The Bible Doctrine of Peace and Grace Sufficient. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203.